Hello and welcome to the second of our Lent reflections from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We are continuing our Lent series as we look at Hannah Steele's book, Living His Story, revealing the extraordinary love of God in ordinary ways. For more information about the book, please see the YouTube description. Last week we thought about the fact that the story of God is the greatest story of all time. It is a story that communicates that we are known and loved by God. It is a story that, although God knows everything that we think and say and do, all the wrong things we do, we are forgiven when we repent and accept Jesus in our lives. And it's a story that tells us we do not need to fear death, because Jesus has conquered over all the powers of death and evil and darkness. The message of the Bible tells us that God loves and cares for us. And this is illustrated powerfully in the parables that Jesus tells. And he tells some parables in Luke 15 about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. And these demonstrate powerfully God's love for the lost. So I'm going to read the first two of those parables from Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When thinking about these parables, it's easy to forget the importance of the context of why Jesus told these stories. These stories were told in response to judgment from the Pharisees and the teachers of the law regarding Jesus' association with tax collectors and sinners. In verse 1, we are told that tax collectors and sinners gathered around Jesus to hear him. Jesus didn't limit his message only for the religious elite, the wealthy, or the so-called respectable people. His teaching, his love, was for all people, but especially for the outcast, the lost, the least. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were not happy with this. They enjoyed being special and privileged, given special attention because of their righteousness. I can just imagine them thinking, "I have spent years studying and learning the scriptures and following all the rules and instructions. I have worked hard to ensure I don't break even the smallest part of the law. People look up to me and honour me because of my religious fervour. I don't ask them to, but I deserve to get the praise and adoration for all my work. So why would Jesus want to pay any attention to those lives? Why would he waste his time on people like them when he could be with people like me?" These religious elite were horrified that Jesus would welcome sinners and eat with them. When the Pharisees and the teachers of the law condemned Jesus for welcoming tax collectors and sinners, Jesus told three parables to demonstrate God's love for the outcasts, for the lost and the least. In this passage, Jesus doesn't have a verbal fight with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He doesn't enter into a debate with them about law, about love, about justice. To be honest, I doubt the Pharisees or teachers of the law would have listened if they had had an intellectual discussion. They would have been so sure, so certain of their position, that they would not have listened to another side. But Jesus doesn't have a discussion. Instead, he tells stories. Last week we were reflecting on the power of stories and how we understand life through stories. And this is certainly true in this case. Jesus uses the power of stories to subvert their self-understanding, their self-righteousness of the Pharisees and teachers of the law by portraying God's extraordinary love and care for ordinary people, a love that is extravagant and unceasing in its persistence and devotion. The parables were able to do this much more effectively than an intellectual discussion about the law would have been able to. It is easy to condemn the Pharisees and teachers of the law for their thoughts. But I want to stop and think for a moment about ourselves. Do we ever act in similar ways? Are we ever tempted to look down on other people and place ourselves as superior to others? It's a tempting attitude to take. We all like to make comparisons and to see ourselves in a better light, as ones in a higher position. We make comparisons based on appearances, possessions, jobs, status, and so many other things. It's an almost instinctual act in which we rank other people against ourselves and either place them as a higher or lower place than ourselves. This is the way our world seems to work. But God's kingdom has no place for this kind of hierarchy and comparison. God loves us all, regardless of who we are, what we have, or where we come from. A challenge from Hannah Steele's book suggests that we spend time thinking of those who are lost. She says, "It could be good to spend time this Lent asking, who are the lost people in our communities? Who are those we walk past each day without a second thought? Who are the downtrodden, the marginalised and the oppressed? The love of God is not only for them, but it is especially for them." So how can we show the love of God to the lost in our communities? Or perhaps you yourself might feel lost. Please, if you do feel that way, reach out. Connect with us. Do not allow this chance to know the love of God to pass you by. So as I said, these two parables are part of a trio that speak of the same extravagant and outlandish love of God. With each of the parables, Jesus confronted the religious elite with the truth that they just kept missing about God. That God is a God of restoration and celebration, a God of love and forgiveness. The third parable Jesus tells is the familiar story of the prodigal son, one that I think most people have at least heard of, even if they haven't read for themselves. I encourage you to read and reflect on it in your own time, because it is a powerful story and it does tell us so much. I'm only looking at the first two. The two parables are quite similar. They tell of a person who loses something. Firstly, a shepherd who loses one sheep out of 100, then of a woman who loses one of her 10 coins. In both cases, the thing that is lost is precious, but it is part of a group of them. There isn't anything particularly special or unique about the one that is lost. Jesus asks the crowd, who would look for the lost sheep or a coin? But of course the answer for them would probably be that none of them would go out and look for them. They wouldn't want to risk the 99 sheep or the 9 coins just for the sake of finding the one. They would be satisfied with the ones that they have left. But it is here that Jesus demonstrates the extravagant love and compassion of God, that he doesn't want even one to be lost. These parables were meant to be a contrast between our own actions and God's. Where we choose not to search, God is already present and seeking the lost. Jesus came to earth to launch his search and rescue mission. He came to extend God's invitation of love to everyone, from the religious elite to the outcast, to the lost and the least. And although his message was for everyone, not everyone chose to accept it. And ironically, it was the religious elite that seemed, at least in this case, to reject God's message. Jesus had a desire to include everyone, and the religious elite poured scorn on it. Although they sought to follow God by following the law, they had allowed earthly concerns of status, power, money, cliques, among other things, to cloud their minds. And they were far too focused on these things, on the little details, that they forgot the essence of what it means to follow God, which is to love God and to love others. They wanted to follow a set of rules. They forgot they were following the God of the universe, who has created each and every one of us. So while the religious elite were scorning Jesus' message, the so-called sinners and tax collectors eagerly welcomed it. They heard what Jesus was saying and they wanted to know more. They wanted to know the love, the freedom, the forgiveness that God eagerly offers. God sent out his search so that he was seeking the lost. And God invites us to join his search team. When Jesus returned to the Father, he left the Holy Spirit and a charge for us to go out and make disciples. God wants us to join him in seeking and loving the outcast, the lost, and the least. He wants us to follow him into where he is already working, to reach out to those who don't know him. Who might God be asking you to seek? How can we catch up with what God is already doing? And actually, it might be a really small or really simple thing that you need to do first. It might just be having a friendly conversation with our neighbours over the gate and offering to pray for them during these difficult times. I joined an online conference this week about being restless for mission. And one of the speakers says, "Do not despise the small things." And that phrase really stuck with me. Because God works through the big things, yes, but he also works through the small things. And he can show his generous love even when we don't realise it's being shown. We might not see massive, dramatic works of faith, but we might be enough to plant a seed, to stem that little budding of faith. We might not see people come to faith, but perhaps we can begin them on their journey. Many of Jesus' stories spoke of planting seeds. If an acorn is planted, it will take many years to grow into an old oak whose shade people can sit under. And we personally might never sit under the shade of that tree, but we planted that seed that enabled it to grow and give shade to others. So what seeds might God be asking you to plant? I encourage you, as part of God's family, join his search team so that others can come to know the amazing love and grace of God. Amen.